ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
All right, how does that make you feel? Do you feel like standing up, pretending we've just won gold at the Olympics? Does our national anthem, well, does it please you? Or does it induce perhaps a sense of cringe? We are talking national anthems. I want your take on the good, the bad and the ugly of national anthems. I mean, I guess the goal of a national anthem is a single song that unites an entire nation. Do you think that one does the job? If you've moved here from another country, how do you think the Aussie anthem stacks up internationally? Is it something you can get excited about? Give me a call to share your thoughts on, what makes a good national anthem? Is it the melody, the words? How much is a stirring anthem simply down to your own vocal ability to light your own flame of patriotism? Of course, many of the anthems we're most familiar with were written a long time ago with very little relevance today. Now, to join, have a look at this question. I've asked David Hunt. He's a historian. He is one of the few people who's really embraced the use of the word Gert, which, of course, appears in our national anthem, because he's the author of books called Gert, True Gert and Gert Nation. Hey, David, welcome.
G'day, Suzanne.
Now, what do you reckon about Advance Australia Fair? What's your take?
Oh, look, I've actually managed to forge an entire literary career on the back of the most absurd word in that anthem, Gert. And for that, I'm very grateful to Peter Dodds McCormick for penning it in 1878. But I think it's one of the worst anthems in the world. It's turgid, it's dull, school kids hate it. I'd rather have something else.
Wow. Okay. I feel like I must be on my own. I really quite like it, but okay, you reckon no go. Well,
It does it speak to what modern Australia is all about, Suzanne?
I think it's nice if that's what we really were. I think it's very aspirational. I don't know. That's my take on it. But look, I've got people already saying this one, Trent, the Australian anthem's never been appealing. Yeah, the British comes with the Union Jack is old and boring. I like the American, Canadian and French personally, but they're on your list of ones you don't like, which we'll get to in a moment. I reckon we'll have quite a few diverse takes on this. Now, interestingly, David, Australia's actually had a few unofficial national anthems. Tell us an example about Wild Colonial Boy.
Well, look, the first song that Australians rallied around when they were still members of the British colonies in the back half of the 19th century was the Wild Colonial Boy. It was a song that honoured Bold Jack Donoghue, the Wild Colonial Boy, a bushranger who was like the Harry Styles of his generation. He was incredibly popular. He was a pin-up. The newspapers used to write fashion pieces about what sort of bushranging kit he was getting out in. And the common folk loved him because he made police magistrates and the rich folk he robbed from look stupid. And so they sang the Wild Colonial Boy, and it became so popular that the New South Wales government banned it. And
that probably just made it more popular, right?
It made it more popular, and people got around the ban by changing the lyrics. And so rather than being Jack Donoghue, he was Jack Doolin. They basically just changed the name of the protagonist, but it was the same song, and it was a real sort of up yours to the authority of the government of the day. And it took off and became popular across the Australian continent. So it was, if you like, a popular unofficial anthem. The first one that we, first song we really embraced.
Now we'll play a bit of Wild Colonial Boy so that people who are unfamiliar with it can see if maybe we could stage a comeback and get behind this.
There was a wild colonial boy, Jack Duggan was his name.
I mean, it's hard, David, to see us all singing this at the Olympics, but it's got to be.
It is,
good
but
way.
I think I detected a touch of an Irish accent there, and the song actually travelled and became popular in Ireland as well. So yeah, look, it had a bit of international appeal as well.
So in terms of our other unofficial national anthems, I guess Waltzing Matilda would be up there. Have there been others?
Well, look, when Australia became a nation, Australians were all British until 1949, until Australian citizenship was introduced. And so it's not surprising that the national anthem that was present at the time of Federation in 1901 was God Save the King. And that God Save the King, God Save the Queen remained the Australian national anthem until 1984. So it wasn't until 1984 that Advance Australia Fair took over. And that was the result of a plebiscite where all Australians were given the opportunity in 1977 to vote on their favourite anthem out of four choices. God Save the Queen came in third. A very creepy song called Song of Australia, favoured by South Australians, came in fourth. Waltzing Matilda did surprisingly well. And that's amazing because, you know, that's really a song about a suicidal sheep-stealing hobo who drowns himself and haunts a pond, which is not really the sort of look you're going for in presenting yourself to the rest of the world. But it was beaten out by Advance Australia Fair, which had been the ABC theme song for, you know. Yeah, it was. Yeah, every news bulletin was announced by Advance Australia.
No, Fairs. Really?
Yeah.
So we brought it to the world. We brought it to Australia.
You've got a lot to answer for, ABC.
There you go. All right. Yeah, I'm really not getting any love for the our anthem on the SMS. Steph says it's awful. Hard to get the energy and enthusiasm when singing it. Awful, not inclusive at all. We are young and free, really. Our Indigenous people might have a different view. Don't like ours. Someone says we should have the theme from Skippy instead. Goodness me. There's just no love on this particular text message for the orchestra. Here, our current anthem is a dirge. Wow.
But it's not alone in that. In fact, it's almost par for the course, with a few notable exceptions for the national anthem to be dirge-like.
All right. Well, David Hunt is with me, historian and author of Gert, True Gert and Gert Nation. So why don't we run through the others which are on your worst anthems of the world list? I mean, I don't think you've had a listen to every single one, but you've had a fair plough through.
I have.
And look, you've popped God Save the King on there.
I have, and I've put that in there because I hold a visceral dislike for it because it was the Australian national anthem for so long. And you know, I'm not a very secret Republican. I'm an out there in the open Republican. And there's a lot of pomp and ceremony attached to it. It's actually a song that was originally sort of written probably as almost like a medieval chant song. Probably written in the 1600s, and it's used in so many formal ceremonies, and there are so many rules around how much of it you can sing, depending on how royal the person in the room is. So if you've got lesser royals, you're only allowed to sing six bars, and then you've got to stop. If the king or the king's consort are in the room, You're allowed to sing the whole four verses,
but most, wow.
So there's all this etiquette attached to it. That being said, the song is good enough for both Norway and Liechtenstein to use the same tune. Liechtenstein's "Oben am Jungen Rhein" and the royal anthem of Norway, "Kongesangen," both use exactly the same English tune for their national anthem. So perhaps it's got more going for it than I give it credit for.
Wow. Do they manage to put some more energy into it? My main problem with God Save the King is it is just so monotone and just so, it just sounds so mournful.
Look, the second verse is got a bit of fire and brimstone. It's, oh Lord, our God, arise, scatter his enemies and make them fall. Confound their politics, frustrate their knavish tricks. All right, on the hope we fix, yes.
Why don't we have a listen, Dave, and let's see if we can get excited by the second verse, yeah. Okay? There is some nice drumming in there. That's the main thing I'll give it, David.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. People were getting into it, but okay. We're saying that's definitely. So it doesn't really talk much about the UK, does it? It's just about the king and or the queen.
Well, the king is country, I suppose, is their way of looking at it. So, yeah, look, it doesn't do it for me.
Now, I have to say we have one defender of our national anthem, Led from Bankstown, who's basically like, who is this guy, David, who is not into our anthem? I love it. So proud of it. I'm the son of hardworking refugees and look, it rocks. Thank you very much, Led. someone's saying we should have that We Are One, We Are Many as our national anthem. That's a nice one, isn't it? All right. Next. Next on your list, Austria. What's Austria done to deserve this?
Well, look, I mean, mainly its anthem gets confused with ours. I think that's why I resent it. It's actually been played at several Olympic Games when Australians are on the medal dais. They've been known to play the Austrian anthem. So it's stealing, you know, what little thunder the Australian national anthem has, the Austrians come in and steal it. And I sort of dislike it for that reason. Also, it's called the Landerberg, Land am Sturm, Land of the Mountains, Land by the River. And it's sort of really just a bit of a geography tour, Land of Peaks, so Land of Rivers, Land of Fields and Land of Steeples. They've got lots of things there, I suppose, but
Land
the
of
lyrics
Clots. Land of Glaciers, yeah.
Well, Land of Hammers. They sing about their hammers.
What?
Look, they do. It's Land der Hammer Zuckenslake is one of the lyrics.
But
it is actually.
Didn't Mozart write it?
Well, look, I think it's disputed, and I think Mozart would probably be disputing it if he was still alive today. It's reputed by many to have been written by Mozart, but there's some conjecture about it.
All right, well, let's give the Austrians their moment in the Australian sun. Okay, I'm not sure if we've got to the hammer bit yet, but we've got more to play, so we won't give the Austrians too much airtime.
Fair enough.
So Austria's number three on your list of what you think are appalling national anthems. This one, again, it's had a bit of love on the SMS. It's the Star Spangled Banner. Why have you...
Go on. I actually like this song, but the reason that I don't like it as a national anthem is... There's a couple of reasons. Many of the Americans who sing it sort of don't know what it's about. So I don't think it's doing its job. There have been some absolutely terrible renditions at sporting events. And look, this was a song written during the War of 1812, a war between the USA and Britain. And it's pretty powerful. It's about the defence of Fort McHenry, and it's really sort of a up yours to the British saying you haven't managed to take our fort despite, dropping bombs and rockets on it. So it's got some power. I think it's a good song. What I find surprising is the incredibly inappropriate way that it's often sung, which suggests sort of a lack of understanding what it's about. Also, it was originally written by the British. The music was written by the British. It was called the Anacreontic Song, and it was the sort of drinking song from a club of gentlemen Brits. And it was basically about how they like drinking and chatting up women. And the original lyrics... In America, the lyrics, "Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave," the original lyrics were, "While snug in their club room, they jovially twine the myrtle of Venus with Bacchus's vine." So they've basically got a bawdy British eggheads drinking song. They go to war with Britain and then they turn it into something else and... still don't quite know what they're singing. So although I like the song, I don't think it's doing its job.
And as you say, there have been some notoriously terrible renditions of it. Honestly, David, I feel like we're in a jazz club and she's trying to seduce us with that song.
Well, isn't that a great... This is not a sexy song. It's a song
well,
about...
Well, wasn't it originally, though? I mean, when you were telling us about the gentleman's club?
Well, it was a drinking song. It was a song about, wanting to write music and poetry with other gentlemen and then inviting some ladies in and reciting poetry to them and then getting drunk. That was the original song. It wasn't really sexy either, but the modern one is certainly not meant to be sung like that.
Now, I think because of shortage of time, we won't delve into Canada, which is number five on your list, because otherwise we won't get time to properly explore all the songs you think are worthy of acclaim. I've got David Hunt with me, historian, author of Gert, True Gert and Gert Nation. We're doing the good, the bad and the ugly of national anthems. Now... this is one that's also got some love on the SMS from Nikki. I love the South African anthem. I love the sound. Also that they sing in English and Afrikaans. This is on your list too.
Yeah, look, it's my number one song. I mean, I think there's something incredibly powerful about watching it being sung. It's actually sung in five languages. It's sung in Xhosa, Zulu, Sesotho, Afrikaans and English. And when you're talking about it was really a blend of the pre-apartheid Afrikaans anthem and a Xhosa hymn, Nkosi Sikelel' iAfrika. And I think it's beautiful and it's just so powerful watching, black people, white people singing it together. So it gets a big thumbs up for me.
Oh,
Oh, yeah, and a good trumpet, I think, helps make an anthem, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, again, I thought this would be controversial. The Marseillaise, also getting quite a lot of love for the Marseillaise on the SMS, people saying, yeah, look, it's so uplifting. I've got no idea what they're saying, but, you know, it really, really gets the blood running. But that's kind of my issue with it. It's basically about violence and there's like soldiers are going to come and cut your son's throats. And surely that's like a little bit outdated.
It is incredibly violent. Do you hear in the countryside the roar of those ferocious soldiers? They're coming right into your arms to cut the throats of your sons, your comrades. To arm, citizens, form your battalions. Let's march, let's march, that their impure blood should water our fields. I mean, it's really, really bloody. And it was a song that was written to lift the spirits of the French troops in their war against Austria and Prussia in the 1790s. And it's a real military song. I think it's incredibly stirring. It's incredibly powerful. It's the song of international resistance movements all over the world for that reason.
Actually, maybe from our point of view, it's better that we can't hear the words because it sounds great if you don't stop and go, oh, you know, people coming to cut your son's throats.
Yeah.
And now I've had a couple of votes also from the Italian national anthem, stirring and reflects the character of the Italian people, says Gavin. Now, here's one a few people might not have seen coming. You've gone for the Bangladeshi national anthem.
Yeah, look, where else can you have an anthem that's written by somebody who's won the Nobel Prize for Literature, Rabindranath Tagore, an absolute sort of legendary poet, writer, songwriter, first non-European to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. And it's a great song, but it's about normal life. The smell of mangoes, it's just the lyrics in it are beautiful and it sounds great.
The Bangladeshi national anthem. That one's very happy too, isn't it, David?
It is. And the lyrics are lovely. It's got a real sentimentality about it. It's the most sort of uplifting, just let's have a nice time sort of anthem I've come across.
All right. Now, again, perhaps slightly obscure, Burkina Faso. How did you even come across this one?
Well, I was drawn to this one because it's, you get lots of anthems that are written by, you know, lawyers and even some, the Canadian one was written by a judge. This is actually written by the president of Burkina Faso, who was a jazz guitarist in his spare time. One single night in French, he was at the end of sort of many coups in Burkina Faso, Upper Volta as it was known. And it's just full of revolutionary zeal, talking about the cynical malice metamorphosed in neo-colonialism. You know, it's really sort of sticking it to the colonial powers. So I just like its fire, the fire in its belly.
All right. Now, I should say I do have it. However, the only version that we were able to find seems to be computer generated. So I have no idea what we're actually going to hear. But look, let's see what happens. Yeah, perhaps it would sound better if it wasn't so obviously computer generated.
I suspect so.
If you ever end up in Burkina Faso, people try to catch the national anthem. Now, finally, we might just have time to squeeze, not New Zealand. Lots of people are voting for New Zealand on the SMS, but you have put China in.
I have, and one of the reasons for that is that it was not just popular in China, it was popular all over the world. In the years after World War II, Paul Robeson, the great American singer, sang it in both Cantonese and in English. It was a hit in Britain. It was a hit in a number of countries, even though the original title of it was The March of the Anti-Manchukuo Counter-Japan Volunteers. There's a lot packed into that. But it actually had worldwide appeal. Unfortunately, the bloke who wrote it was then imprisoned during the Cultural Revolution and died in jail. But it's a really sort of catchy one of these military songs, and I think it's got something going for it.
Well, we'll go out with as much of it as we can play before the news hits us. David, thank you so much for casting your ear over the world's national anthems and coming up with a list of the good, the bad and the ugly for us tonight.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
David Hunt, historian, author of Gert, True Gert and Gert Nation. And on that stirring note on Nightlife, let's head to the news.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.